Well, it's my pleasure in a moment to welcome our guest speaker today, who is director of LL Ministries in Pierpont down in Surrey with his wife Diane. He's an Aussie. His wife is a Pommie. But it doesn't sound like it, but she is, trust me. And he's an Aussie, but, you know, we welcome all backgrounds here, all internationals here. We are going to give you one hell of a beating later this term, I tell you, at Twickenham. And he's been involved with LL Ministry since 2002, when he went on a NETS course, Never Ever the Same, that's what it stands for, and he was never ever the same. He gave up his vicar's job in Australia to be involved full-time with LL from 2003. Diane had been involved since 1996, so they've been very involved in this ministry for many, many years. And it's a global ministry, and it's centered really on this basic understanding from Scripture that we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And they love to bring this ministry and see people come into freedom. And often it's inner healing and freedom from past traumas and what have you. Seeing people get free. And we saw something of that yesterday. So will you welcome Paul Watson? You need a stand, Paul. Yeah, you want to use that one? This is the dodgy one from yesterday. Oh, no, this is a different one. Is that the right height for you? A bit higher? There we go. Great. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Paul and for Diane, for their team, their ministry yesterday amongst us, for all that you did in this place yesterday. We are so thankful for the freedom that you brought about in the lives of so many people yesterday. And we pray your blessing on Paul, that you would release your word through him this morning, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to respond in obedience and faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, everyone, for the warm welcome that Diane and I have received. We love coming here. This is our third time that we've been to Mariners. I preached once about May last year. We came back in November, and now we're back here. And it's a great privilege to be part of you. It's an exciting church. It's great to see. I love to see so many men involved, men up the top. It was great to have you joining them this morning. Men leading in so many churches you just don't see. Or often you see men that are quite passive and they come along almost like by their wives, dragged along. But when men get touched by Jesus and really live for him, women feel like, yes, we're partnering together the way it ought to be. And it's very exciting. I'm interested in that word that someone gave you in regard to the Lord wants to heal broken bones, because the topic I'm speaking on this morning really has to do with the power of words. And, you know, the old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, words can hurt, and the words that have an impact can infect us spiritually, affect us in our spirit, in our soul, mind, emotions, and will. And the outworking can be the damage in our bones physically. So it's a very important subject. Have you ever said something and then straight away afterwards thought, oh, wish I'd never said that? Or the reaction of someone who heard those words confirmed to you, yes, it was wrong to say that. I was just thinking this morning, and I was just looking at a passage from Judges where a man rashly spoke out words that then became an oath and a vow before the Lord, because our words have spiritual power. It's not just a random thing. That's why there are so many scriptures in the Bible that refer to the way we speak, because words have power. And when you speak a word, you can't get it back. I did an example once with a children's talk in church where I got a child to come out and we had a tube of toothpaste and a piece of wood, and I said, squeeze the toothpaste out on that piece of wood. And it was fun. Squeezed it all out. And then I gave them a toothpick, and I said, now put it all back in again. And it's impossible to get toothpaste back in the tube once you've squeezed it out. And I said, it's the same with our words. This guy was one of the judges, Jephthah. Jephthah, it says, was a mighty warrior. And he went through some trouble with his family and he got banished. But then when the enemy were coming, the Ammonites were coming to attack, they all ran back to him, said, "Oh, please, mighty warrior, our brother, please come and help us." And he said, "Oh, I wasn't your brother 6 months ago. Now you're in trouble, you come crawling back." But nevertheless, he sensed God telling him to go back. And they fought the Ammonites. And he said, as he was about to take on the Ammonites, as God had said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him to bring victory. And as he moved up towards attacking the Ammonites to fight this battle, he made this vow, and he said, he made a vow to the Lord. This is Judges 11, verse 30. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, "If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering." That is a rash word, because God did not tell him to do that. He did it as a, I don't know why, out of a proud heart, a boastful heart, false worship of God, whatever it was, whether it was the influence of the nations around that they took on board those belief systems of child sacrifice. He didn't know that that was going to be a child sacrifice. It was his own daughter. When he came home, the first thing that came out that door was his daughter singing and triumphing and playing a tambourine, singing about her daddy's great victory. And he said, "Oh, my daughter, what have you done? You've come out the door." It wasn't her fault. He'd spoken a word, and he had to keep his vow before the Lord, because vows and the words that we speak are powerful. We could talk about that whole thing a lot, but I just really sensed that that was the sense of the power of our words. The wrong use of words can... I'll turn this on and make a difference. Yes. Not doing it either. Is that the receiver in? There we go. The wrong use of words can bring emotional hurt and or curse into someone's life. We don't realize that, and we so often let things come out of our mouths. The word of God is powerful. God spoke and the creation came into being. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, there was life, there was the earth, and it was all created. But our words also have power. Use them wisely. The scriptures talk about Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. James 3:9, with the tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. God wants us to speak words of life. How many words have you spoken already today? "Oh no, got to get up. Oh, church. Oh, lovely day today." In Australia we might go, "Wow, lovely day. Do we go to the beach? Or do we go to church?" Beach, church. Church. Well done. We say lots of things. Have you said words of life to your friend, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your spouse? Have you spoken a word of life to someone today? Or have your words been rather a bit more tearing down, critical? I don't want to put a guilt trip on anyone. I let the Holy Spirit convict us of anything. But I'm just trying to remind us that the power of our words are about bringing life. Psalm 119, 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." These are the words of God. As you read Psalm 119, it's about the word of God, the statutes and the laws of the Lord. They're his word. They reflect his heart. Our words, Jesus said, reflect our heart. What comes out of the mouth, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So what's my heart full of? Would people hearing my words think, "Whoa, what a heart that is. What a positive heart," or "What a bitter heart." 1 Corinthians 14:3, "Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort." Those words that we speak, the prophetic edge that is a word from God that is right for the hearer, are words that encourage. I was involved with a men's ministry called Shed Happens in Australia. Blokes would get together and The guy who founded that work, he said, I've never seen a man go backwards through encouragement. Encouragement builds up. Our words of encouragement. Our words are to bless others, to bring them a sense of good in their life, to bring that which is what they need. Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. 25:11, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. See, there's that connection. Sweetness to the soul, health to the body. Words come into our human spirit. They can bring life to the spirit, which brings life into our soul and into our body. There's a direct link to our body and life that comes through our spirit. And life can be imparted by words that build up. 1 Corinthians 14:31, for you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed. And again, there's that word encouraged. However, Satan's plan, Satan, our enemy, wants to bring harm and damage and crushing and destruction. So he would work in us. He would try to work in us so that our words will destroy, reject, denigrate, to tear down and not to build up. The kind of words that the enemy would want us to use, words of accusation. You liar. It's your fault. You're wicked. There's the example of the man called Shimei cursing King David as David moves out from his home in Jerusalem after Absalom have taken over from him. And Shimei shouted words and threw stones at him and said all sorts of awful things to David to tear him down and accuse him. You silly man, you stupid king, etc. Words of condemnation. Maybe we've grown up with words of condemnation. You're just like your father. You ought to suffer. All sorts of words that tear down. Words of criticism. You're useless. You're stupid. You'll never be any good. Nobody would want to marry you. You're ugly. There was a lady who came once for ministry to LL, and when she was a little girl, her father used to say things to her like, you've got a face like a crushed clock. A crushed clock face. And that impacted her deeply. And I wonder whether there are words that you could still feel and feel ringing in your ears. Something might trigger, some remembrance, some song you hear, something you see, some smell will trigger something, a word. I remember a teacher saying something to me once when I was in about year 8, and he spoke a word to me that in front of the class that cut me down. And I can even sense when that type of word is said, you think, almost that similar feeling that can come because words have that power to tear us down. Sometimes there are words of despair and gloom. You won't pass that exam. You'll never get anything right. You know, you're sure to get that disease. You'll die before you're 50 because everyone in our family dies because they get this disease and they speak that word. Sometimes you might even be believing that word for yourself. Our family has a family where the men die with heart attacks, so I'm going to die of a heart attack. We take these things on board. You may not speak it out to someone, but you may have it as a belief there. And I'm sure to catch that because it's in our family line. Well, if we open the door to the enemy, he will have rights to come and apply stuff that we give to him. Maybe they're words of anger. I hate you. Those of you who've had teenagers sometimes know that every now and again a teenager will say, I hate you, because you wouldn't let them go out wearing a mini skirt that was about that big. So you're not going out dressed like that, young lady. I hate you, Dad. Okay, I love you so much. I love you too much to let you go out that, because I know what teenage boys think. And they're not going to think, wow, she's got an intelligent brain, that girl. So I wish you were dead. I wish I'd never married you. Words of anger that burst out and you can't bring them back. And they've already hit the mark. They've already hurt the person. Pronouncements. Do you know what a pronouncement is? A pronouncement is a statement that you make over somebody that is speaking what would seem like a word of truth. A doctor or a paramedic might come and say, oh, this person's not going to live. Or you've got this problem and you've got, you know, so many months to live. Well, okay, they may be, this is a possibility, but we don't have to believe that. Pronouncements can be, you'll never amount to anything. Give me that hammer, son. You can't drive a nail. You'll be hopeless. You're just going to wreck that piece of wood. You'll never be able to do it. And sometimes we grow up with those sort of things spoken over us, a pronouncement over our lives. Oh, men, they only want one thing. Oh, men, they don't trust them. Oh, women, you know, if you want to have a happy life, make your wife happy. A happy wife is a happy life. You know, if she gets everything she wants, then you can do what you want and you can live a happy life. These are horrible things. It's not what the heart of God is. So the words that we speak out over other people, or even words over ourselves. You know, we can put a self-curse on our own lives. Fiona Horriban, who's the wife of Peter Horriban, who's the founder of our ministry, she recently had something growing on her spine. It was on the sciatic nerve. It was a cyst that was growing, and she had to have an operation. She was for 6 months in terrible agony and in a wheelchair, and she was unable. And it was kind of awkward for her because it's like we're the heads of an international healing ministry, and she's disabled with these terrible Christian, terrible backache and pain. She couldn't move, couldn't do anything. And she used to say things. She realized, she'd say, oh, this stupid back of mine, if it wasn't like this, I could do this. This silly back, this wretched back. And she'd speak those sort of words. And one day God spoke to her and said, you're cursing yourself. And so she took on board that and she said, oh, okay. And then it seems kind of weird, but in our ministry at times when people separate themselves, dissociate from some part of their life or where they've done something, and then you put it down and you treat it badly and you say, oh, stupid person. And you separate yourself out. And she was actually saying, you stupid back, and in a sense giving the enemy rights to maintain that. And so she then started to say, which sounds a little bit silly, but, oh, you poor back, I'm really sorry that you're aching like that. My you poor sciatic nerve and that cyst, that's awful. And I'm really, you know, that type of talk. Now, that she was saying, it sounds silly, but she really needed to actually own that this was her and it wasn't to be cursed. And anyway, she was scheduled for an operation, and about 4 days before, God healed her completely. And that cyst was completely disappeared. The specialist said, don't need an operation now. I don't know what's happened. I've heard about it. I've never seen it before. And she said, well, we believe people have been praying all around the world for this, and we believe God's healed me. And he said, well, I'm not necessarily sure about that, but you believe that, that's fine. But I've never seen it before, so I would describe it as a miracle. But I just wonder what the effect that we have on ourselves by this stupid leg or this stupid back or, you know, those type of simple little things, but they're the use of words that can have an effect. Pronouncements are words spoken out. Inner vow is a belief that you take on board for yourself. So you might have, you've stood up and said something and people criticized you or laughed at you, got embarrassed about something, and then you say to yourself, I will never stand up in front of people again. Or I will never venture out with an idea because I tried it and everybody put me down and I got so embarrassed and I got so put down, I will never initiate anything again. Maybe you've said something like that. It's a statement of intent and declaration you put over yourself. And the enemy says, oh, thank you very much. I'm going to hold you back from the destiny that God has for you because you're going to live under this oath, this vow that you made. Jephthah lost his only child because he made a vow that God didn't ask him to make. He spoke it out rashly, and then it had power, and it had to come to be. Inner vows, I'll be never good enough, I'll die young, I won't let anyone see me cry. A lot of men say that sort of thing. When you get put down, you're out on the rugby field and you get hit in a hard tackle, and you're only young, and you naturally, if you get whacked in the face, I've had that happen a few times, whacked in the nose in a tackle, and it makes you cry, literally makes you cry. And then some, you big sook, you bunch of girls. Sometimes coaches or dads on the sideline will shout that out. and you go, I will never let another man see me show emotion again. I'll never cry again. And then years later they're married and there's something happening and his wife says, why did you feel anything? And he says, can't show emotions. Not safe to. As a little boy, I couldn't show emotions. The man that was closest to me in my whole life came down on me like a ton of bricks when I showed emotions. There's no way I'm going to do that again. Don't get angry, son. I'll give you something to get angry about. You get treated in those ways and then you'll say, well, I'm never going to show emotion again. I want to talk about bitter roots. Bitter roots. There's a passage in Hebrews that talks about bitter roots. 12:15. Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. That's a very powerful statement. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, lives in the light of the grace. He's loved us so much, we ought to be able to love one another. He's forgiven us much, by grace we forgive others. Or a bitter root will grow, a bitter root that causes trouble in community and defiles many. Do you ever take offense? I don't mean stealing offense. I'm talking about, do you take offense? Offense. I'm offended. It's usually when something happens, somebody does something, somebody says something, and you don't agree with it, and you say, I'm offended by that. Now, there are times when that's very valid. It's okay to be offended. The question is, what do you do with that feeling? Because offense becomes a bitter root. It can grow, it can divide, and that offense can become bitterness and negativity. It can turn inwardly on ourselves like a curse, but it also goes outwards and damages and defiles many. Many churches are ripped apart because people carry offense, because they don't deal with it properly. Offense is closely linked to unforgiveness and bitterness. And we need to be able to recognize, okay, if I was offended, why was I offended? Do I need to question the things that I hold to be true, and do I need to test them with the Word of God? Do I need to listen to criticism? Or do I just go, you don't agree with me, I'm offended, and now I'll push you away. I'll legislate against you. I'll call you a bigot or a phobe of some sort. People carry all sorts of offense. I came across this on Facebook. You may have seen it before. 1300s, I'm dying of black plague. 1800s, I'm working 16-hour days. 1900s, I'm off to fight a war. 2000s, I'm offended. Offense is that thing that drives a wedge within churches, in communities, in sporting clubs, in workplaces, you name it in society, offense. And it will be a very quick, a very strong recipe for a church to lose its effectiveness and love because it rips us apart. Bitter roots are offensive in a sense that it comes from offense and we hold that against other people. But bitter root judgments come from that. Somebody hurts you and then you make a judgment about that person. So if you're growing up, for example, this is what I used to carry. I grew up in a home where my mum was quite wounded and damaged from her family life. And she used to operate like her mum did, out of manipulating people through her emotions. So she would get upset and cry and cry and cry, and Dad would say, oh, I'm sorry, yes, we'll do that. Oh, no, I won't go, I'll stay with you. And so as I remember growing up, there was this sense of wounding in me that Mum and Dad would fight often, and Mum would come and cry in her bedroom and cry and cry and cry, and my brother and I in the next room trying to sleep, and then Mum's crying, then she'd go out, have a big argument with Dad, slam doors, come back in, cry. And there was this emotional sort of stuff going on. And then I took on board this sense that women will control you by their emotions, and therefore I will not take that. I used to say to Dad, why do you let her do that to you? Why can't you? He said, well, I care for her. I love her. I said, yeah, but you... And I took on board a judgment, a bitterroot judgment, that women control you by their emotions. So I carry that with me. And then the bitterroot judgment has an effect. It turns into a bitterroot expectation. The expectation is, if your judgment is women control you by their emotions, then the expectation is, if I get married to a woman, of course, she will try to control me with her emotions. And so I prepare for that. So one day I said to Diane, these are the days when you wish you hadn't said something, right? I said to Diane, you know, you're just like my mother. And if she was a lesser person in her own spirit, she might have been devastated by that. Oh, I don't. What am I? And I could have flung that on her, and I'll show you the effect of that in a minute. But she's not a lesser person. She was strong. And she said to me, Paul, I am nothing like your mother, and you need to go and get yourself sorted. Now, the effect of a bitterroot expectation following a judgment, which follows perhaps years of offence and holding that offence and bitterness and negativity. I hadn't forgiven my mum. I hadn't taken and confessed before the Lord that belief that I had. And so the effect of that judgment that comes on to the other person as an expectation is the enemy loves openings like that. He loves an opportunity to have a landing pad in our lives. Now, we knew a couple, still do know a couple, that the husband, his mum was always late. Late to everything. You know, the sort of person they say she'd be late to her own funeral. She was late. When he was growing up, they'd come to a school assembly at the awards night, and they would come in half an hour late. Oh, excuse me, try and find a seat. And there's usually no seats except up the front somewhere. And they've got to come past everybody. And he's so embarrassed. Mum has made me late. She's made me embarrassed. And his father used to tell the mum that the event they were going to would start half an hour earlier with the view that hopefully she'll be ready in time to get there on time. And even then, they were late. So he made a bitterroot judgment. What do you think that is, the bitterroot judgment? Women are always late. Women will make you late, and therefore you'll be embarrassed and it'll be awkward and it'll feel bad. The expectation is, when I marry this a woman, she will make me late. She will make me late. Sharon, his wife, she was always on time. Never struggled to get to a place on time, always get up in time, have breakfast, get ready, go to work, get to work early, sit down and have a coffee, read the paper or something, get herself ready to start work right on time. Everywhere she went. She marries this man. His expectation, my wife will make me late. After a period of time, she begins to feel like she's got ropes behind her, holding her back in the morning. She can't seem to get ready in time. And in the end, she got to be someone who was late. And he said, see, I knew it. Women always make you late. And she said, that's not fair. I was never late until I married you. I was never. And then she read a book by John and Paula Sanford. And there's a chapter in there about bitterroot judgments and expectations. And the bitterroot judgment Paula and John Sanford wrote about the fact that she had an expectation upon men coming from the effect of her brother's actions towards her that affected her husband, and he, when she had that expectation, did that which he'd never done before. And she thought, oh, this is what it is. This lady, Sharon, who was now late, ran into her husband and said, read this. And he read that and he goes, oh my goodness, that's what I've been doing. And he repented of it. He said, will you please forgive me? He spoke to the Lord, said, please forgive me. I made this judgment. I made this expectation. And I've dumped it on her. And the power of that has given the enemy rights in my wife to defile her, to cause trouble. And it actually had an effect on her. And so he repented of that. She forgave him. And then he renounced that belief. Father God, please forgive me for that belief. Please forgive me for dumping it on my wife and giving the enemy a foothold. And now I renounce that and I break the power of those words off my life and off her life. And I command anything of the enemy that's come against her to leave now. And after that, she was back to being punctual on time. The power of bitter roots, the power of words, the power of vows are really very powerful, and the enemy can use them. So we need to, and I want to ask you this morning to consider, what words have you spoken over others or over yourself? Have you grown up with things that have hurt you, that you've made a judgment and an expectation upon someone who's close to you or others generally? Is God saying that you need to break the power of that judgment? Do you need to repent of being having taken it and held offense against someone? We can take offense quite easily, and it, even if it's an actual thing that's done, or even what we think or perceive someone has said or done, we can take offense at that and hold it against that person, and it brings this bitter root, and it brings separation, and it brings harm, and it can bring defilement. So we need to repent of that, and we need to choose to forgive those who perhaps have hurt us and have led us to make those judgments. And we need to break the curse and command the enemy to get off and leave us. So I would like to invite you to pray a prayer with me to perhaps repent of the use of wrong words, perhaps repent of taking offense and not choosing to forgive and release it to the Lord. I think this verse, Matthew 24, talking about what's happening in the later days, I think we're seeing an increase in offense within our society. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I think that in many ways we have broken the power of what God wants to do through the way we take offense so easily. We don't forgive, and then the enemy can get in and separate us, and it's like our love will grow cold. We want it the other way around. We want our love to grow, because this world that's turned away from God so much more, even in our legislation, our world has turned away from God and His Word. The only thing that we can bring is the love of Christ Jesus. They will see us. We bring the gospel of the love of Jesus, and the world needs to hear that. But if we're fighting each other and we're holding offense against one another, and if we've got bitter roots against one another, the enemy's saying, I can take out the effectiveness of this church. But if we forgive and if we change the way we speak and we show the real love of Jesus amongst each other, the world will say, wow, these Christians love each other. They've got something that I want, I need. So if this is what you would like to do, there's a prayer that I invite you to pray. Lord Jesus, you're my Lord, and I want to do only that which pleases you. Lord, you know all things, and you know the injustice of. So maybe there's something that's happened in your life, like, for example, the way my mum was, that affected me and hurt me. You may need to say, well, there's some stuff happened in my life that has led me to think the way I do and to speak, but I need to bring that to you. And all the times that I was put down, maybe there's something that you need to just mention to him and just agree with him. Father, please forgive me for taking offense over this. Please forgive me for judging. Maybe you've judged the person. Maybe you've judged yourself. Maybe you've said, I'm stupid, I'm useless. And for holding them and myself in unforgiveness. Lord, in your name, I now choose to forgive them and to release them from my judgment and into my forgiveness. Specifically, forgive them for or for saying. Maybe it's words people have said. Maybe it was your dad said stuff over you. So that's something you can insert in there. I now renounce the judgment or judgments I made against the person that I just break the power of that judgment against my mother, and then for holding that belief over all women that they'll control me by their emotions, for example. I ask you, Lord, to completely free me from these. Father, please pull this bitter root from my life and set me free completely. Lord, please, would you show me your truth in this area in my life? Thank you, Jesus, for carrying my sin on the cross so that I today can stop reaping what I had sown. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free from this bitter root judgment and expectation. Lord, please help me to completely change my thought patterns and to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Please enable me to change every ungodly behavior pattern I have. Please wash me clean of all bitterness. I pray this in Jesus' name. So it's a pretty strong prayer. So I'm going to invite you, if you'd like, to pray that through out loud with me. I'll pause where there are spaces, and as you sense it's appropriate, maybe you can say what that is or who the person is and speak that out just softly off your lips. The person might be sitting right next to you. I'm going to pray for you first and then invite you to pray this. Father, I thank you, Lord, that there is release and freedom through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for all the effects of oaths and curses and bitter roots that we may have. For, Lord, for where we've taken offense, Lord, that you might help us to choose to forgive those who've hurt us or who we perceive have hurt us, Lord, and we pray that you might bring release and freedom for those as we speak out and pray this to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. So together let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord, and I want to do only that which pleases you. Lord, you know all things, and you know the injustice. So maybe there's an injustice in your life. Maybe it's all the times that something's happened or people have said things to you. Well, just maybe just own that, just name that. Lord, you know all of these things. You know about that injustice, the way I was spoken to, the words that were said, the way I was treated, all the times that I wasn't listened to, all the times that people said you weren't worth anything, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to know what to put in there. Okay, let's move now. Father, please forgive me for taking offense over this. Please forgive me for judging. Who have you judged? Maybe you've judged yourself. Please forgive me for judging this person, these people. Continue from and for holding them and myself in unforgiveness. Lord, in your name, I now choose to forgive them and to release them from my judgment and into my forgiveness. I specifically forgive them for, maybe forgive them for the actions, forgive them for the words. If there's something in mind, maybe there's words that are particularly powerful, particularly hurtful that have been spoken over you. Forgive them for speaking out that. Now, you may have made some judgments. To renounce means that you say, I no longer hold to this. I want to break this off my life now. It's no longer true. I don't believe this anymore. It's not right. I come out from underneath it. That's what renounce means. So let's continue. I now renounce the judgments I made against. What was the judgment, perhaps, that you need to renounce? Maybe you just need to speak that out. I renounce the judgment that, for example, women control me by their emotions. I renounce that judgment. Maybe we now just say, I ask you, Lord, to completely free me from these. Father, please pull this bitter root from my life and set me free completely. Lord, please, would you show me your truth in this area of my life? Thank you, Jesus, for carrying my sin on the cross so that I today can stop reaping what I had sown. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free from this bitter root judgment and expectation. Lord, please help me to completely change my thought patterns and to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Please enable me to change every ungodly behavior pattern I have, and please wash me clean of all bitterness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, I pray now that you will come and that you would lift off every opening that has been there for the enemy. wherever there has been a renouncement now, where people have said, I no longer want to believe this, I don't come under this anymore, Lord, lift that right off them. I pray that you would bring cleansing and healing. Where they have asked for forgiveness, I want to say in Jesus' name, you are forgiven. I want to speak of freedom for you to speak now in a new way, to no longer hold a sense of offense against others or bitterness or negativity. And I do pray, Lord, that you will bring healing in spirit and in soul. And I do pray, Lord, healing in Jesus' name for bones, where there are diseases in bones, where there is brittleness in bones, where there have been bones broken, where there are joints that need to be healed. We ask in Jesus' name that you would come, Lord, and bring healing. I speak in the name of Jesus Christ, right godly order and healing in our bones, that deep element of our lives, that part that our body is built on, a structure. And I speak healing where there's been out of order through bitterness, negativity, unforgiveness, judgments. We speak order now and speak healing into the bones in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.